is going on out there, everybody? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, joining me as always, Mr. Michael Myers himself, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes,
hey, I'm here.
Before
it's that
we go.
Time of year, yeah. Did your wife go see it yet?
She did.
And?
She said it was okay.
Oh.
She said it wasn't as good as the last one.
Oh.
And then she's going to take Luke to see it because she said there was no like adult, there was no nudity or anything like that, just cursing and a lot of gore.
Oh.
Which the gore doesn't affect Luke at all. And
no, the cursing he hears.
Unfortunately, he's got older brothers, so he hears cursing and stuff all the time.
So it is what it is. I just wanted to ask you real quick before we got going, because my wife and I were going to go see it, but I'm sure as we're recording this, our wives are actually hanging out together, so it's probably not the best idea for them to do that.
They were going to some restaurant or something.
I don't know what they're up to.
Everybody's been asking, so I'll go ahead and answer that. Luke is going as Egon, one of the Ghostbusters.
He made a complete change then.
Man, he always does. He's got the proton pack and everything. I mean, he's pretty pumped.
Now, isn't that movie supposed to come out soon?
I think so. Speaking of that movie.
It's called Generations, isn't it?
I saw where Antlers is coming out like in 3 weeks, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like I talked to you about privately. I'm not sure why they don't release it right before Halloween.
Yeah.
And then what else did I see? Oh, Dune's about to come out.
Can't wait.
So I'm excited about that. If you're wondering what the delay in shows is we recently switched hosting platforms. We used to be with Libsyn and we moved to a different hosting platform. And so because of doing that, I have to learn how to do it a different way than I've been uploading stuff for 9 years. And, no surprise. I'm an idiot. So it took a little longer. So that's just
a learning curve.
One of the things going on. And then when we got in the studio today, we couldn't get the microphones to work for whatever reason. Some ghost got in here.
Nothing worked. Yeah. I had to reboot everything.
It's like, what happens when we're not here?
Oh, and as far as me, I was at the coast. Everything was great. We had a great time. We went on a little fishing trip. Didn't catch a whole lot. Everybody had fun. On the way back, my brother-in-law that didn't go because he had a checkup to go to, a stress test, if you will, since Monday has had to have quadruple bypass open heart surgery. That went from we were all chilling, right? And he just decided to stay home because he had some other stuff to get done to maybe he gets to come home this next week. But he is feeling like $1 million.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
so it really, like I said, dude, it has been a crazy last couple of years. But these last 90 days for us have been really wild.
I can't believe how fast this year has gone by.
Yeah.
I mean, we're staring down November, like literally.
Mm-hmm.
This year just seems to have flown by. And what's crazy is like we didn't even play that much baseball this summer.
Mm-mm.
It seemed like it's gone faster. Maybe because I'm not at the ball field like all day long enjoying it now. I'm just, you know, when that time gets free, it gets filled up with other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is that time of year, and we have been getting an onslaught of emails from you listeners, so we really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
With all kinds of creepy stories and things to check out, and so
we got some neat stuff. Before we dive into this neat stuff, though, just an off-the-whim thing, I have found a few things I need to talk to you about in the news, sir.
Okay.
One of them is, I don't know if y'all saw this. I'm sure some of you probably did. A few of you even sent it to me, but there was a report came out. And it said that a Navy submarine had hit an object in the Pacific. And I said there were no life-threatening injuries.
It hit something?
Yes. And that the USS Connecticut was still fully operational. This was reported by the Associated Press back on October 7th. Okay. Now, the first thing I saw was I'm like, well, what did it hit? I'm thinking, like, did you hit? Is there rocks? Is there mountains? What did you run into? Then I start reading. Let me read you some of this right here. This is what it says. This comes from the NBC News website. It says a U.S. Navy attack submarine struck an object while submerged in international waters in the South China Sea. This happened on that Thursday. So there are no life-threatening injuries, of course. Sub still operational. It says that it was safe and stable condition. It says the extent of damage to the remainder of the sub is being assessed and that this incident will be investigated. Now, here's a really crazy thing. They didn't specify the location, but two Navy officials speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss details not announced publicly said that it happened in the South China Sea while the Connecticut was conducting routine operations. The officials say the sub then headed toward port at Guam and that they said the incident was not announced before Thursday in order to maintain operational security. One official said it could have been a sunken vessel, a sunken container, or another or other uncharted objects.
But don't they, when they're driving the thing, aren't they constantly using sonar and stuff that you would think that you wouldn't be able to run into an abandoned container?
That is my point. My point is, if you can pick up other things, and I don't know anything about subs, so any of you out there that were on subs, I would love to know, if you'd email the show message, I would love to know the extent of which you can tell what's in the water. I'm assuming from what I know, which is you could probably fill a thimble with about submarines other than they go underwater and they make cool movies, is wouldn't you be able to pick that up in your sonar? That's the thing, right? If there's now, maybe it's too small for the sonar to pick up, or maybe it's an alien. The first thing I thought of is, what if it was an underwater craft and you can't pick it up because our sonar doesn't find it? Yeah, the same as before, and it ran into it. Or maybe it is truly something sunken out there, like it's Connex boxes that were washed off or another sunken ship. But I would think you would be able to find that. I'm skeptical about that
because I'm assuming just like in the air, I mean, they can see stuff as small as a bumblebee in the air. So why wouldn't you be able to track that underwater? I mean, if you couldn't see an underwater structure, they'd be running into stuff all the time.
You would think, yeah.
I mean, I've seen them they're dodging torpedoes, pulling crazy Ivans.
And I'm assuming too, that a submarine is quite a bit larger than a whale. So whatever it ran into was substantial in size. Wouldn't a whale just move? If you hit it, bunk, it just kind of moves in the water.
I think it was a megalodon.
Ooh.
And it actually bit into the submarine.
They're just not wanting to say.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Or it was
right.
Like the Kraken, something large wrapping its tentacles around it.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm going to have to keep my eyes open to figure out what the heck's going on with that.
And I've got something else here I want to read for you.
Okay.
This was back in this summer, and I've just been sitting on, totally forgot about it, going through some of my notes and found it. Body of man found in Alberta septic tank in 1977, identified using genetic genealogy.
Septic tank Sam.
They found out who he was.
Who was he?
Here you go, folks. This is from the Global News. They posted this. It says a 44-year mystery around the identity of a man whose scorched body found in a septic tank has been solved. So what it was is a fella named Gordon Edwin Sanderson, an indigenous man in his mid-20s from Manitoba, and he'd been living in Edmonton around the time of his death. Said he's known as Gordy to family and friends, and it says that Gordy had a hard life. He was separated from his family at 9 years old during the scooping place in the 60s up there when they would take the indigenous children away, place them in foster care. Went through all of this, right? So this whole thing said he'd have struggled with addictions and had various run-ins with the police throughout the time. What it sounds like is he was probably got mixed up in something bad. And so here's what he says. As a result, they were able to develop. Okay. They sent DNA. Get a load of this. This has a tie to Texas. Biological samples to Orthrum Labs in Texas to develop a DNA profile that could be searched against public DNA databanks in Canada and in the U.S., of course, for ancestry. Well, they developed this. They got a family tree. They found some of his relatives using all this stuff, and they tracked down his sister and found her and spoke to her about it. She says that the last that they had heard of from the family was he was going to meet his younger brother, Arthur, in Calgary, and that Gordy never made it to the meeting. And then, you know, of course, they didn't think anything of it. And then, of course, this whole deal, but they had never heard from him. So what they think had happened is in between him leaving to go meet his brother, he may have been, you know, in some nefarious businesses or, you know, something bad happened. Anyway, this is what went down. The really wild thing is now they've taken this, turned it back into the cold case and opened it completely back up and everything. And now they're reinvestigating it as another active murder again. So instead of it being a cold case, it's more of that. So we now know who Septic Tank Sam was.
I remember when we did the episode on Septic Tank Sam that I discovered that he was not the only one, but there was several people they found in septic tanks. Like I never would think about disposing a body in there. Of course, I never rarely sit around thinking of where I would dispose bodies.
Allegedly.
Speaking of unsolved murders and things like that, or solved murders, what do you think's going on with this this whole Gabby thing with the guy that's there's rumors he's in Mexico. There's rumors he's in Canada. I saw a rumor where they think he could potentially be living under the flower bed at his parents' house. They have like drone footage of like the mother handing food or something to a hand that emerges out of the flower bed.
To be honest, it
I mean, there's no doubt he's guilty, right? There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care how scared you are. If you're not guilty of something, you don't hide like that. I've been keeping up with it, like you and I discussed, since it happened, right? Because it was a missing person. It took place. I was like, what's going on? And then it's all turned very, 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 very bad. I would almost, in my mind, I don't know, but I would almost think that he has to be getting help and being hidden, actively hidden by someone. Because I just can't, in my mind, wrap my head around the fact of being able to disappear that easy in today's society.
That's what I'm thinking. And that the coroner's report did show that she was strangled.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I did, you know what I'm saying? Like,
do you think, I know you don't know the guy.
Yeah.
Do you think it was like a heated argument and he accidentally choked her to death? Like he didn't want to, or do you think that he was abusive the whole time?
Man, I think he might've been abusive the whole time.
Maybe.
I think to different levels, and it may have escalated. Well, of course it escalated. Something happened. I don't know. After seeing the body cam footage and stuff like that, I'm just like, look, man, it's not living that close and living under. It's one of those deals. I don't know. I just, not knowing anything, and of course, going off what the news, you can't really trust all of that, you know, and you don't want to speak bad. But it sure seems like this dude killed her. And it seems like it was an escalation of things that finally led to this.
I think the parents have to know more than they're telling.
I would,
because he came home, you know, and got a lawyer, then disappeared. I find it hard to believe that they don't know anything.
We talked about this as a family when we were down at the coast, and they had all asked if your child committed a murder and came home, what would you do? Would you actively hide your child, or would you turn your child over to the police? And I said I would turn them over to the police.
Yeah, I think so.
The reason being is because that's what I would want done if somebody had murdered my son or my daughter, is I would look for vengeance, first of all, which is a horrible thing to say. But you would also want justice. You would want closure. And if my son or daughter was responsible and was stealing that from another family, as much as it hurt, you have to do that.
Yeah.
That's in the society we live in today. Otherwise, everything is for nothing, right? It doesn't matter. But not everybody feels that way. I think you might be onto something. I didn't know about the drone in the hand and all that stuff. That's pretty cool.
If you look it up, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of these conspiracy theories. There's probably 1,000 of them. I saw one where he accidentally tweeted something he wasn't supposed to for like a split second. It was in like a John boat. They think he was off the coast of Florida, like, I guess, paddling to Cuba. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
But no matter where he goes, I mean, he's not going to be able to just start life over. I mean, how are you going to get a driver's license? How are you? Anytime you go see a dentist or a doctor, like, it's going to set off these. I mean, you're tracked. You have a digital footprint everywhere you go.
You have to.
If it was 1920, I'd be like, yeah, you can just dip out.
Well, I've watched and if you've not seen it, folks, and you want to check out something that's pretty wild and crazy, it's on Netflix. It's called The 24 Faces of Billy Milligan, I believe is what it is, or however it is. And you go through the Billy Milligan case. And there was a really interesting part in when he left the institution and ran away and ended up going and living up in Washington and then, you know, bouncing over to Canada and whatnot to visit his brother. That they were talking about him being wanted by the FBI, and this teletype had gone out to all of these major areas knowing where he was in these photographs. But they said it's not the same as it is today. Trying to track someone back in the day was, you just had to hope that the guy that was working his 9-to-5 that day saw the dude pass, looked and remembered to look at the photograph and all that stuff. Like, truly, it was a heads up, but it wasn't refined. Whereas today, everybody is dialed in and tuned in. Yeah, and there's cameras and all that. That's why I believe he has to actively have help.
I mean, I've read stories where like a guy had a separate family, like he has one family and then has another one, or had a falling out with this wife, divorced her. And then, I mean, but they would have not set up across the country, like literally the next town.
Does that not sound like torture?
You could just go to Mineral Wells and say, well, no, my name's Jeff. But like nowadays, I mean, if you're that guy, I mean, no matter where you pop up, they're going to be like, I know who you are. You're that killer that's on the loose.
Yeah, exactly.
You take it back to like 1930. I mean, you could just go next county. Be like, no, my name's Jim. I'm new from here. I'm from New Mexico.
Like what we've talked about, where people would leave Texas and go to Arkansas and start a whole new life and become like a, I don't know, like run a shop, you know?
I think that was
dry goods. I think that was a huge thing.
I think
it
happened all the time, right? Like you borrowed a bunch of money and instead of paying your debts, you just vanished. Screwed everybody and then moved to another state.
Yeah.
We're like now, I mean, everything's tracked.
I just don't know how it. I don't know. I just feel like if you were going to off yourself,
I was
going to
say, I think if you probably,
I think if he had committed the crime and was and felt that bad and was going to kill himself, why would you come home? Why would you do all that? Why wouldn't you just do it right there? I still feel like he's actively running and he doesn't know what to do. And I think that he's actively being helped in yeah. some form or fashion.
Yeah, maybe. Well, hopefully they find the guy soon. Did you see the one where he tripped a deer cam?
No.
There was a hunter somewhere around had a picture of a guy with a backpack, and it was triggered by one of his hunting cameras.
Oh, really?
But they did research into it, and they said it wasn't that guy. It was just some other drifter.
Slipping
maybe somebody
that.
Else.
If y'all want to see some cool stuff, y'all can get on and start searching up just like crazy deer cam pictures and stuff of things that it's, and of course some of them you'll see have been doctored and they make them out to be scary and this and add stuff to it. Yeah. But there are some really weird ones. Like I've seen one where there's like a whitetail, a nice looking whitetail going right by this same camera, the same tree. And like the very next night in an area that there should be no elk, there's like a big 6x6 walking right in the same spot. You're like, where did that thing come from? So yeah, it's fun stuff.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to get into some of these crazy stories. Keep listening, folks. You are listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
What? Let me get a drink.
Sure, go for it.
I can't believe you didn't bring Liquid Death. You did brought the Orange Mango.
Today I'm rocking the Orange Mango body armor. Yeah, yeah. You got to switch it up.
I'm having a little ice water. It's good stuff.
Go for it. While you're drinking your cool, crisp ice water, check this story out. It says, hey, guys, my name is Matt, and I wanted to tell you about my grandma's UFO encounter she had. She has told me this story a few times over the years, but I just asked her a couple of days ago to tell me what happened again. And I have to tell you, her story hasn't changed at all. Her encounter happened when she was about 5 or 6 years old in Northern California, close to the Nevada border. She was in the back seat of her parents' car. Her mother was driving, and her aunt was in the front passenger seat. They were driving down a dirt road off Highway 395 towards a military base near Herlong, California. That's where her dad was working at the time. Now, on that dirt road, a flying saucer, as she says, flew across the road maybe 40 feet off of the ground and about 50 feet in front of their car, passing from their left to their right. My great-grandma immediately turns off of the dirt road into the weeds, chasing after this craft. My great-aunt was apparently yelling, and my grandma was in the back seat, bouncing off the seat as the car drove over dips and bumps in the desert. My grandma says that she tried to follow it till it disappeared over the mountains. Maybe a total of 5 to 10 minutes. She doesn't know the speed of this thing, but she said it was moving very quickly, and doing so, it was making no noise. She isn't sure why her mom tried to chase this thing, other than to try it, see it longer, or to try to figure out what it was. My grandma is very level-headed, smart, and definitely one of the nicest, most honest people I know. This memory is one that is ingrained in her mind forever. She has had a couple of other odd experiences, but this is the only UFO sighting she has ever had. If you're interested, I can ask her if she might be willing to call in to tell it herself. I'm sorry, I realize I didn't include her description of the UFO. She calls it a flying saucer, but she said it wasn't exactly saucer-looking. I asked her to explain and had her draw in the air the outline of it. What she described was more like what Bob Lazar's craft looked like. It was kind of flatter, towards the center, more than a flat like saucer would be. It had somewhat reflective and a metallic surface. This was during the daytime, and she didn't mention anything about seeing any lights on it, so I assume she didn't. Thank you guys for your time. I love the show. Every year for Christmas, I ask for an elite membership, and I love it now as much as the free show. Please let me know if you need anything else. I have some strange things I've seen and that have happened to me personally, and more from some family members. If you're interested, I can send them to you. Thanks again, Matt.
First of all, Matt, your grandma's awesome.
Yeah, right? Yeah, maybe you should have her call in and tell her
we love her. That's
tell
awesome.
The show. It would be pretty interesting to listen to her tell a firsthand experience. But how cool is that? Man. That are his great grandma was driving, bouncing through the desert, chasing this thing, wanting to get a better look at it.
Bahan.
And back in those days, you know, of course, the kid didn't have safety seats, seat belts, so she's just bouncing around. Remember when you were kids, you could crawl pretty much anywhere you wanted to in the back seat.
And chase UFOs.
Yeah, that is a really cool story, sir. Thanks for sending that in.
It's one of those things that you forget as you get older. You forget that your grandparents were kids too, right? Like they were young. You forget all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, I think it's neat. So I had had this, I was looking into, cause we'd gotten a few stories and I've gotten a few more. I need to put them together and tell you all about some more black eyed kid sightings. And then I had found a couple of black eyed like adults. And then I found this one. I want to read this to you. This is from a few years back. And this is a very disturbing thing. It says, I work in a factory during the graveyard shift from 10 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. This night, I was actually working my sixth day in a row for overtime. I've had this job for a while now, and I'm used to this kind of schedule. I'm bringing this up because typically after I get home, I'm still wide awake and I tend to sleep later in the day. So I was totally alert when this happened. I ended up leaving work early since I'd completed a lot more orders than usual, and I was on my way home around 4:30 a.m. I turned down the side street that leads to my apartment complex, and I immediately noticed that it is quite dark as the streetlights are not illuminated. Now, the suburb I live around uses streetlights that have sensors, so they light up when people walk by them and turn off by themselves to save energy. As I noticed it was dark, I decided to turn on my brights. I'm only about 6 blocks away from home at this point, and I come around a small bend in the road that leads up to a children's park. And the only stop sign on this street between my apartment, which is a few blocks further. I noticed something in the middle of the road. My first thought was it was stacked garbage that maybe blew off the curb into the street. But as I drove closer, I slowed down, and I realized it was a person walking down the street with their back to me. It seemed like an old person, a very old person, actually, by the way they were walking. I slowed down a lot because it's very odd, and I didn't know if they were going to jump out in front of my car or what, since there was very well-maintained sidewalks that was less than 10 feet for them to use. The next thing I noticed was the clothing. The person was walking slowly, almost waddling, and was wearing a hooded jacket with the hood up and their hands inside the front pouch. Wearing sweatpants and soaking wet slippers due to the light rain, but no socks. This person was about 3 car lengths away from the stop sign, and I was close now, getting ready to stop, and I asked if they needed help or something. As soon as I was just about right behind them, adjacent, this person, which I then saw was an old man with wrinkly and very pale skin, whipped around insanely fast and stared at me. Into my soul. My brights were still on, and I could see how pale his skin was, and then I saw his eyes. His pitch black eyes. No whites in these eyes, just blackness. I was immediately filled with terror and almost froze up, but I floored it and sped the last few blocks to my apartment, parked, and sprinted inside, locking all of my doors and windows. Now, the next day, I realized that none of the streetlights were illuminated on my whole street when this happened, even though it was within distance to trigger these sensors. And this happened back in April of 2017. And after that, I couldn't sleep at all the night I got back.
Yeah, I don't blame him. So was it a demon? Was it a black-eyed person? Like, what the heck was it?
Dude, it seems like I talked about. You get a few of black-eyed adults, right?
You do.
But mainly, it's all black-eyed kids.
Mostly.
Like, I'd say 95% is black-eyed kids, right?
Yes, I would agree.
What the heck? Like, is it not creepier? Like, we always talk about, what is it about, like, creepy, old, wrinkly, like, from Metallica? We always bring up Enter Sandman.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it about that? But now he's black-eyed, right? Oof. I mean, I don't know. But it does sound like a demon. It does sound like a possessed homeless guy. But what would it be? I mean, you're 4:30 in the morning after a light rain wearing sweatpants and slippers. Now, either it's a guy that escaped and he's got Silver Alert and they're trying to find him, right?
Yeah, right.
Or
maybe he is just like a a hobo junkie or something. Yeah. Like, what's that crazy drug that rots your flesh? Doing hits a crocodile or whatever they call it. And yeah. It causes your irises to look black. And I mean, there's no telling.
But pale and moving fast. I just don't like the idea.
Straight up. I was in New Orleans one time, and I was also in like 7th, 8th Street off in Austin. And I saw some guys that look like zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Years ago, yeah. I'm talking about. So, you know, in the right circumstances, I could see how you could be creeped out, and but it might not be anything paranormal, but it is odd.
He turned, and he's looking at the car. The high beams are on. You get a good look at him, and there's no eyes. It's solid black.
That's when you turn the wheel towards it.
just steer into it.
Yeah, yeah. You're helping out society.
I just wonder if they ran the stop sign. I would have ran the stop sign.
Oh, yeah.
4:30 in the morning, hammer down. Hammer down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no one looking.
Nobody's out there. And if it is, you'd be like, there's a black-eyed dude back here that's scaring the hell out of me. I got to get out of here. But, I mean, what else could it have been? If it's not a homeless guy, which very possibly, I'm assuming, could be a homeless guy, then it was a demon.
Yeah, right. Or why couldn't it be both? Why couldn't a demon possess a homeless guy?
Well, very true. Maybe the demon just decided just to hang loose this
maybe
time.
Maybe black-eyed people are also homeless because they knock on everybody's door. No one's letting them in.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's not like they
solid
can
solid point.
You go to a motel, try to rent a room. They're like, no, you're a black-eyed person.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You're like, get out of here. You're creeping me out. Yeah.
check this out. It says, hello, Kyle and Cam. Just a couple of weeks ago on a warm fall night, around 10 p.m., I went outside to grab my work vest from my girlfriend's car. The car is not but 10 steps from the door, so I just pulled on a pair of jeans and went out barefoot and shirtless. It says, I immediately got a strange feeling when I stepped outside. When I tried to unlock the car door, the remote wasn't responding at all, so I started rapidly clicking the button to unlock. That's when things got really strange. Across the street, an SUV was parked, and in the low light, I saw what looked like a pitch black figure standing behind it.
Uh-oh.
With its head and shoulders much higher than a normal person's would be. If I had to guess, it would probably be about 7 foot tall. It was wearing a fedora-like hat. As soon as I made eye contact with it, it quickly ducked down behind the SUV with an audible thump and the slide as it grazed down the side of the vehicle. I ducked down as well, trying to see if I could see the figure's feet, but there was nothing beneath the car.
Uh-oh.
As this was happening, three of the car's windows began to roll themselves down in unequal distances. Despite the oddness of the situation, I still needed my work vest. So I unlocked and opened the back door of the car and bent over to reach the vest on the floor. As I did this, I immediately got a feeling telling me not to move. Not paralysis, but more like something is happening. Don't move. Let it play out. That is when I felt a touch. Not too gentle,
no,
but not too rough either, on my lower back. It was like the way you might touch your significant other's back as you slid by them in the kitchen.
Hey.
Just kind of a, I'm right here touch.
by some big hulking scary thing. Psst, don't be scared.
Yeah, something large, black, and with a fedora on.
It's touching my lower back.
Yeah, I'm not down. I later tried to recreate the window phenomenon by clicking and holding the buttons on the remote all sorts of ways, but to no avail. I truly feel like I caught a strange entity off guard that night. I felt like it was just as shocked to see me as I was with it, and the ensuing weirdness was more akin to the pranks of a trickster than anything malevolent. I wasn't scared or shaken as much as I was shocked at what just happened. Nothing has happened since, so I think whatever I saw was just a temporary visitor. I'll email back again to share some more personal encounters and family tales. Until then, keep up the great work, Dakota from Maryland.
Dude, that is creepy. So now I have a question that Dakota probably can't answer. But my question is this entity that you witnessed, was it trying to interact with whatever was in the black SUV? Or was it distinctly trying to interact with you, because if you say you felt like you caught it off guard, I just wonder, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was involved in creeping out somebody or something else.
Yeah.
When this happened, the idea of like, I'm right here. It's okay. It's just me. I mean, like, dude, don't be friendly with that thing.
If it was me and I needed to get a vest for work out of my car.
You gonna wait in the morning?
Yeah. And I see a tall black fedora wearing creature across. I'm not just going to be like, eh. I'm going to be like, braver I ain't going to work, bro.
Yeah.
I got the COVID. I got something. I ain't going to work. I ain't going outside, definitely.
Not until it's daylight.
Yeah. Or I just go to work and say, I forgot my vest. Whatever. I'm not messing with shadow beings, hat man, whatever you want to call it.
You're not bringing that in?
No, I'm a coward.
Yeah, dude, I do not like the idea of shadow man. We've always discussed it. You got to leave those things alone. Run.
Yeah.
You got to run.
There is a haunted house in the nearby town, Mentor Wells, right next to the Baker Hotel. And this is widely known. And you can go there, and I think it's like $500 a night. You can stay in that hotel. Or not a hotel, I'm sorry, in that house. And there's been like 8 deaths at that house. Like, it was a brothel back in the day. There's been a couple women murdered there. There's been a couple children. A little girl was hit by a car and died on the front stoop. Another little kid like accidentally hung itself. And there's been a bunch of deaths there. And then you can go on YouTube and you can watch videos, all kinds of videos of people going and staying at this thing. It's called the Haunted House on the Hill, Mentor Wells. Just search that on YouTube. You'll see all these paranormal shows and groups. They go there all the time. They, you know,
we've done a segment about it. I did the whole thing about
on
it.
On that house?
Yep.
Okay.
When we did it with the Baker Hotel.
Anyways, the reason I bring that up is people contact me all the time wanting to know, because they know we live in a neighboring town, that they're going to do some research. Would I like to tag along? The answer is no.
You don't want to go there?
If you tell me it's haunted, I'll believe you. If you say, no, man, the people, I got scratched. I don't want to go in there. Or you can hear stuff talking. Good. Yeah. I'm not going in there because I don't want it to attach itself to me. And then now I've been sleeping peacefully.
And now you got trouble.
And now I got trouble. Like, yeah. I need something else in my life, right?
Yeah, that's the way I feel. Look, I will go during the day and video and go look. But when it starts getting into the time of, I'm out, bro. I'm out.
Man.
Now, I'll go into any of the scary woods, any place you want to go on the planet, like I'll go into. But I'm not going into haunted houses.
Not willingly.
I'm not going into the ocean.
I'm sure I've been in a haunted house and didn't know it. But I'm definitely not willingly going into a haunted house.
Yeah. Well, we went into the St. James. We were just passing through those few times. It wasn't like we were in there investigating. We just, hanging out, checking it out. Doing the tour and bouncing.
People flirt with that stuff. I mean, there's whole television shows based on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine. And you'll see these people that are on these shows and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I've been scratched like 52 times and all this other stuff. I'm like, you don't have a hard enough life.
You know what? Maybe we should try.
No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I think we're going. We're going, folks. No. I'm going to take him over there. We're going to give it a whirl. No. We're going to go investigate. I'll find some haunted houses and we'll go investigate them.
Well,
This guy's going. Our homie Lon had got this from Albert Rosales, and I had totally forgotten about this, and he had reminded me a while back. And this is something that I'd wanted to talk to you about because I knew you were going to enjoy this. I want to read you this story because I know how much you like sea creatures and sea monsters and all this stuff. So you're going to love this. You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
It says, one day in 1995, at mid-morning, a local resident of Sudak in the Crimea named Georgi walked to an embankment on the Black Sea for a breath of fresh air. With a goblet of beer with him, he stepped down to the sand and watched the horizon. It was a calm, beautiful day. Suddenly, something snuck up to him from behind and put a rubber mask on his head. Georgi struggles and grabs the mask under his chin and pulled it off, thinking it was some kind of stupid prank. But in the next second, he found himself amid a huge hall. He could neither see the sea or beach or sky. There were huge screens on the walls, multitudes of various control panels with buttons and chairs in front of them. And when he looked down, he saw that he was holding a rubber mask resembling that of a blue reptilian monster, skin like a lizard, covered with warts.
But it was a mask.
Suddenly, a door opened in the wall and 3 monsters entered the room. They resembled very much the face on the mask he was holding. They were tall, about 2 meters in height, blue in color, all covered entirely by warts. They were nude and were awful in appearance. One of them approached Georgie and put his hand on his shoulder. The alien had three huge curved clawed fingers on his hand.
Sounds like a dragonborn.
And he said in a low hoarse voice, Homo sapiens. Georgie could see huge yellow fangs in his open mouth. After that, seized by a terrific panic, Georgie began to scream. He jerked back, threw the mask on the floor, and ran away. He entered a corridor and passed numerous oval doors, different screens and instruments. Overwhelmed by fear, he ran into another room, and there he was confronted by another blue reptilian humanoid. The humanoid opened his huge arms on his sides and said, "Where are you running to?" After that, he pressed something on the wall, and Georgie saw what he called an abyss, endless space everywhere. He could see stars and beautiful screens in space. He was trembling with fear when one of the blue reptilians approached him, took his hand, and said, "Do not be afraid." He then accompanied the witness to the next room.
Do not be afraid?
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible.
Yeah, right. In that room, he saw hundreds of reptilian humanoids standing in ranks. All were standing shoulder to shoulder, and all were looking at the witness. Suddenly, they moved aside, and the witness saw a beautiful woman with light hair, sleeping on a small sofa.
And she was totally naked.
He saw her for several seconds, and after that, the blue reptilians closed ranks again, and she disappeared from sight. The alien then accompanied Georgie to a screen. There were stars on the screen. The reptilian pointed with his claw at one of the stars and said, "Earth." After that, he embraced the witness with his powerful three-fingered hands and said, "Stay with us. We have no time and death." Terrified, Georgie could only say that he wanted to go back home, that his mother was waiting for him, and begged them to let him go. The alien then said, "Well, then there's anything you want to know." Georgie could only think of one thing at one point. "How long will my mother live?" The alien answered, "As much as your age now." After that, the star on the screen began to approach very fast and began to resemble the globe of Earth, and he could see clouds. Suddenly, Georgie realized that he was standing near his house, but only in the opposite direction from where he had originally left. He had been gone 5 hours. He noticed a peculiar detail. The coins in his pocket began to glow with a yellowish light when he took them out. The light disappeared by the next morning.
What?
Yeah.
How old is this Georgie fella?
At the time, it doesn't say. It never does give his age at the time this happened. But this was back in 95. And apparently he's old enough to drink. So at least 21, let's say.
So the moral
well, but he's
is,
also in Crimea, so there may be a drinking difference.
Don't ever stand by the sea drinking a goblet.
Well, how crazy is that, though? Is like the whole thing is a reptilian-like merman. He was there by the ocean just hanging out. And something attacked him. And when he just, in the time it took to pull it off, it's like they transported him onto the ship.
Yeah, why even mess with the mask? Why yeah. just abduct him?
Well, my thing is, this is like, why? What was he doing that got him abducted? He's just hanging out. And then the whole story, when I read that, I'm like, this is so crazy. Like, what is going on? But imagine being that guy. So what I thought is, like, you know, we always talk about some of these stories are too great. There's no way, right? Like, it's got to be not real. What if it's so real? Or it's real, rather. But what if it's so overwhelming that maybe, just maybe, they abducted the wrong person?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And like also, maybe you abduct the wrong person, you show them all this stuff, and they panic and freak out, and you're like, well, why didn't they? And they're like, oh, wait, that's the wrong Georgie. That's Georgie Smith. We're looking for Georgie Johnson. Like, man, we messed up, right?
Georgie Johnson. That's
or Georgie
a good name.
Smith or Georgie Smythe. They were looking for Georgie
Smythe.
Maybe.
And also, I'd like to point out the Earth, when they're approaching it, was a globe.
It was, oh, here
so
we go.
So it's not flat, right?
Here we go.
We learned that, too.
This is true.
I was just watching a show with, what's his name, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's not Degrassi. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's what I call him, because he's got to have a lot of degrees,
he's
got to
have a lot, yeah. Even if he's got one. Even he's got one.
And he was actually having an argument against these flat earthers, and it was just funny to watch the way he was just going after them, and they had, like, no real science that they could back up. It was kind of funny.
It happens.
That, sir, is the strangest story I've probably ever heard. With the blue lizards.
It is. Yeah.
They asked him if he wanted to stay. Of course he didn't want to stay because he's not really into eating crickets or mealworms. I mean, like he's a human. Georgie wants pizza.
True.
He wants a sub sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
Check this one out. It says, hello, my husband absolutely loves the podcast, and he has introduced it to me.
Ooh, thanks.
It has led me to want to share some of my stories with you guys. When I was 13, up until I was 17, me, my mom, my dad, and one of our cats lived in this apartment complex in Cincinnati, Ohio. The building wasn't very old, so I and my family never expected anything weird to happen while living there. But boy, was I wrong. My apartment was the go-to hangout spot for all of my friends. My mom worked the night shift, and my dad worked swing shifts. Therefore, my parents were either rarely at home or they were sleeping. One day, when I was around 14, this took place in 2008-ish, I and two of my good friends were hanging out, sitting on the couch, just watching TV. My couch was directly across the hallway opening against the furthest wall, and our TV, or entertainment center, was to the right of the hallway opening. As I was just sitting there, I see my white cat cross the hallway from the bathroom into my bedroom. I, thinking nothing of it, until I looked behind me on the headrest and realized my cat is laying down sleeping on it. At the time, I felt very confused, and I brushed it off. So is that crazy? She saw a doppelganger of her cat.
That's crazy.
Check this out. It gets better. While in high school, this is a second incident, I attended a lot of camps, so I'd be gone in the summer a lot. I was away for a summer camp one week. When I got home, my dad had the weirdest story for me. He said while I was gone, he was sitting at our computer, which was located to the right of the TV on our entertainment system. He said he clearly heard my voice say, "Hey, Dad." And when his reaction was to look up and answer me, he actually saw my eye peeking between the box TV and the wall.
Oh, that's weird.
He then remembered that I wasn't there to begin with, and the so-called me disappeared. He was so confused by it all that he still called out my name to see if I would come back, but nothing did. He would always tell me how freaky it was. If you knew my dad, you'd know he didn't easily believe in these types of things. Now, that reminds me of the story of you hearing your wife called out to you, right?
I still think I'm just crazy, but well, who knows?
There's no argument there.
Yeah.
This one more incident. It says, this one is by far one of the scariest things I've ever experienced. My parents were both at work one night when my best friend came over to stay the night. We were watching a movie in my room. We were sitting on my bed, and to the left of my bed was the door to my room. My friend started hitting my arm, and when I turned to look at her, she was pale as a ghost. She was grasping my arm and staring at my door handle as she was sitting closer to the door than me. The handle was continuously shaking, and the shaking wouldn't stop, almost as if someone was trying to break in. We both jumped up super quick to hide in my closet. I grabbed the house phone that was in my room and began to call one of our other friends because we weren't sure what to do. She happened to be staying the night with another good friend, and their parents were worried that someone was in our home. They told us they'd be right over and to call the cops. So I hung up and started to dial 911. As I'm trying to call 911, the house phone starts making weird noises, almost as if there was some interference with the dial tone. At this point, I'm in shock, and my friend is absolutely hysterical. I began to redial 911, and my bedroom window starts shaking, the kind of shaking that happens when you feel like an earthquake. The only thing is, earthquakes don't happen in Ohio. At this point, I'm convinced that someone is actually messing with us or is in my home. I finally get in touch with a dispatcher, and she asked if the front door is locked. I said that I believe that it is, and she told me I needed to run out of the bedroom and down to the front door. I explained that I was physically too scared to move, and she told me to try so that I could let the cops in. As my friend is screaming, and I'm trying to find some kind of weapon, which ended up being a can of hairspray, I jolt out of the room to the locked front door, and I unlock it. I'm then greeted with my friend's dad. He takes me and my best friend out of the apartment and away from it. He begins to look around, and the cops finally arrive. They search the whole place and find absolutely nothing. As they're searching my home, my dad arrives in a panic. We explain to him what happened, but everyone was so confused. I know in my heart that a physical person was not in the apartment other than me and my friend. But we looked like a couple of teens trying to play a prank. But in reality, I can still remember the fear we felt. I truly can't explain the things that happened to me in that place. And as I got older and started to learn more about the paranormal, I truly do believe my dad and I both witnessed a doppelganger. As for the eventful night, maybe a poltergeist, I don't know. Can they be one and the same? I'll really never know, but what I do know is that something was haunting either me or my apartment, Sarah. So thanks, Sarah, for sending that in.
Wow.
All these strange events happened at that one apartment in Cincinnati, or maybe two different apartments, but still definitely in Ohio. The doppelganger cat.
Mm-hmm. I would be okay with just a doppelganger cat, right? Like, you're like, okay.
Yeah, cool.
That's cool. It's a doppelganger cat. Like, okay, that's the weirdest thing I need to deal with. But when it started escalating, man.
And then, right. So then her father hears her voice and she's not there. And then, someone trying to get in the room with them. It's a lot of strange stuff. Well, you know, when it comes to doppelgangers, and like this is because of the cat, it reminds me of this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like some of the stories people, it's like a video that just like keeps replaying. You hear the same or similar thing with ghosts. Perhaps it wasn't a doppelganger. Perhaps that cat was a ghost cat. People, for whatever reason, like if someone was, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, a woman in white who's mourning the death of her child that drowned in a stream, right? Mm-hmm. People always see this woman and it's like the scene plays out and then it's replayed over and over and over. It's like it's like skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps some of these doppelganger stories are simply something like that. Like multiverse, like what I'm getting at is like perhaps that's the same cat, but in a parallel universe. And for whatever reason, you're seeing images of it.
It's just accidentally blending at this point.
Or like in an alternate parallel universe, your wife was calling out to you, but she wasn't really in your plane of existence.
With all the different fractures.
I know you don't know, but it's just crazy to ponder these things.
It makes your head hurt.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got something here I want to read to you.
Sure.
Lon had sent this to us, and it's because he knows how much we love like the idea of a pale crawler.
Yeah,
right? Those are fun. This just happened. This just got sent to him back, and this went down on October 8th of this year. Okay, and this is, I'm going to read you exactly what it says. It took place in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It says, so I'm going to start off by saying that this is a secondhand account. I'm actually really upset that I missed this, but that can't be helped. So about 3 hours ago, my girlfriend left to go pick up some food. She came back about 15 or 20 minutes later, and she was like, I saw a monster at the park. So at first, I didn't believe her. But after a bit of questioning, she was serious. So we immediately got in her car. She put the food in the oven first so we wouldn't let it get cold, and we drove over there. And there was nothing, of course, and I was actually hoping that there would be a Halloween decoration or something, but nope, nothing. And we circled the park. And then I had her park across the street so I could go look at the spot where she saw this thing, and there was nothing. I didn't even know what I would think I would find, but I still wanted to look around. But again, nothing. It was just grass, not like there were any footprints or anything, and so that was pretty much it. But I'll describe to you what she described to me. She said that she was driving, and she saw someone kind of hiding behind a tree, but poorly. Like, obviously sticking out from that angle. But looking at it, she decided it wasn't actually a person, just kind of person-shaped. She described it as white, and that's what drew her attention. She said it wasn't a color that you'd expect to see. And she said it had glowing red eyes.
Mm.
So I asked her if she meant reflective, like a cat's eyes, or actually glowing, and she said no, actually glowing. She described its fingers as pointy. She said it looked like it was watching the cars pass by on the street. She said it was kind of hunched over, so she couldn't be sure exactly how tall it was, but she guessed around her height, 5 foot even, while in that position, but probably taller if it stood upright. So she was driving past it. She said that she only saw it for about 4 to maybe 5 seconds. Well, based on what I saw, there were two trees, maybe 4 foot apart, and they were maybe 30 foot from the road. So I'm not great at math or measurements, but those numbers could be off. I'd call myself a very amateur paranormal nerd. Like, I like to watch YouTube videos and look through all of this, but since I'm not really claiming to know anything, this is just what I was looking into. But what I could find and what she describes sounds like a crawler or a very close match. And I really know very little about these things. And I would love to hear any other thoughts or theories on this, and general information would be good too. And yeah, that's it. And at least that's my girlfriend's story. Goes on to say that Oak Ridge isn't exactly a big city. It's more like a large town. And this thing was practically on Main Street at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. Now, there are woods around, but not really anything dense enough to hide a monster in. Says, well, maybe. I'm not exactly the woodsy type, but I still don't think anything would really fit the bill. And are there common and populated areas? And this is an unusual place to see one, so asking some other questions. Said, I don't know about how the cops would feel about me setting up cameras in a public park. Also, I don't exactly have the money and to be buying a bunch of cameras just to leave them lying around. So, yeah, this just happened this month. A possible red-eyed crawler was seen in a park. My question is this. If it was kids, right, or one kid that was dressed up or right. one adult yeah, or yeah. whatever dressed up, I've often wondered this, and we've discussed this on the show at length for years now. If you're going – do you know anybody that's going to go through that much trouble and barely show yourself around a tree, okay?
Yeah.
Barely show yourself at a car coming by, even 30 foot. 30 foot's close, but just barely – so hopefully in that 4 to 5 seconds, they see you and then you're going to run off. Yet there's no tracks. There's no anything where you've stood there taking a chance. How do you go get out of there? What's the, you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. What's the payoff?
What's the payoff? Because most of the time, if you're going to do a prank or you try to scare somebody, the payoff is witnessing that uneasiness,
yeah,
right?
The reaction, right?
So you come out, you reveal yourself fully. You make it a big reveal. That's the payoff that you're looking for. Not many people, if any, do just enough to draw your attention and then run off and sit around the house going, well, I wonder if they saw me.
Right.
Man, I hope they saw me. That's going to be really cool. I wonder, how am I going to know, right? Like, man, I hope they said, I'm going to start looking online if anybody posted anything. I hope they saw me. Nobody does that except things that don't want to be seen.
Yeah, unless you're like extremely disturbed.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. I'm sure there are a couple listeners that do stuff like that, but.
But this the payoff. You do it for the payoff, and there was no payoff here.
Yeah.
Because there's no full interaction. It's just a passing thing.
Yeah. I mean,
it just makes me feel like, man, what could that have been? And like something a little sinister hanging out around there.
Oh, very
If
creepy.
Anything, I would say look into the history of the park, look into the history of that area in your town.
Yeah that's good.
Look into what it could be.
Yeah.
In that area that could have led to something like that manifesting itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, we'll wrap the show up. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Man, I love the creepy stories. This is the time of year for it, right? There's monster marathons going on. What do you mean Luke watched the Leprechaun marathon the other day?
How was that?
Awesome.
Terrible.
Awesome. There was a Child's Play marathon on the other day. And I saw that they're launching a new Child's Play series.
Really?
It was like a new version of Chucky. Going around killing things. So
really?
If you're into Chucky, you might want to check that out.
Who's not?
Right? I'm not really into Child's Play.
I, you know what? I was when I was younger. I thought it was pretty cool. The very first one. I've never watched any of them after the very first one.
Oh, really? Well, like number one's awesome. Luke can watch that. Number two or the one where he has a bride.
Oh, that's Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah,
that's that plays the bride. She's great, but I've never seen those.
There's a lot of inappropriate stuff, so I would not let children watch that. Just the talking.
Oh, well, it looks like I'm going to be checking that out.
Before we get into that, check this out, Cam. This specifically talks about a story that you recently did. It says, hey, guys.
Lay it on me.
I just want to say I love the show. Keep up the good work. Now, the reason why I'm writing is I just finished listening to the Seeing Shadows episode when you were talking about the old folks seeing and hearing children while they are in the hospital.
Yes.
It says, my family has an experience related to this. When I was younger, my grandmother got sick out of the blue and passed very suddenly. She like got sick and was dead within a month. She always hated hospitals, and it was a struggle to even get her to visit one. When she finally agreed to be admitted, she kept asking my mother who the children were that kept visiting her there. We had to keep telling her that there were no children visiting her, but she refused to believe us and was insistent that a handful, not sure about the exact number, of children were visiting her daily. Now, just a day or two before she passed away, she told us that one of them, her brother, who had also passed, also came to visit her. Some might chalk it up to her just losing her mind in her final days, but I think there's a lot more to it, Paul. So isn't that weird?
That is wild.
We had talked about it when you did the show that maybe the children are there to ease the old folks into like the transition to the next wherever we go.
So I've thought a lot about this after we've talked about it, and I often wonder if we're looking at it for the wrong things. What if it's the people that are hearing the children? Those children are their friends that have passed before them, and they're in children form because they come to get you when they were having their most fun.
Maybe.
Because you and I have always talked about, there's always that time, and it's all over the internet, and people think about it, is for people that like our age and older and whatnot, when you would meet up and go play, and even kids today, but there's comes a point in time to where y'all and all of your friends went and played together for the last time, and you just never knew it was going to be the last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are always your real happy moments as a kid. So I just wonder if those happy moments, that's when they start hearing it, is that's it, you know, some
maybe
of it. Some of it's going to be going along those ways. Before I get out of here, I wanted to tell Carter good luck at his soccer tournament. And I wanted to tell a fellow named Jeff, thank you so much for introducing your daughter to the paranormal. She loves it, and she craves it, and she's a lot of fun. And so I'm glad that she is enjoying the show, and it's all due to you, bro, and I'm glad you enjoy it too. So, Jeff, Sarah likes to say thanks. Everything else, man, what you always ask me, I'm asking you, what have you got going on the rest of this week? And don't say work, because I know you've been working a lot.
Yeah, no, not just that. We are taking Luke to, they do this like Fright Fest thing at Shandor Gardens.
Yeah, yeah.
We went there for the first time last Halloween, and it was really cool. So Luke's excited about that. So I know we're doing that. Normally on Fridays, we play Dungeons and Dragons, but that's being moved to another day this week.
Yes, sir.
Even at this moment of recording, not sure what day that's going to transpire.
So that's what we're doing that day.
Hopefully it's not canceled. I would love to just do it another day this week. But outside of that, nothing unusual.
I have to head down. I'm going to go see my daughter this coming weekend.
Oh, that'd be
cool.
We're
running down there to go to a baseball game. Our buddy Wynn's playing actually down there. So he's not playing. He's a musician, Wynn Williams.
Oh, I was like, for a second, I was like, he's playing baseball too? No. Jeez.
Yeah, right. No, and we didn't have any idea. I had no idea he was playing. So we're going to pop in and surprise him and see who else is going to be down there too.
The NHL season is fired up. So I've already watched two games.
Ooh.
That was good. They beat the New York Rangers and they lost to the Boston Bruins.
And I haven't watched any of the playoff baseball yet, and I feel terrible.
I've watched some. I was watching the Red Sox and the Astros.
Oh, how's that going?
It was pretty good. The game I watched, the Red Sox won 8-0.
Ooh.
I believe the series is tied.
I got you.
So, and I know there's a really good battle going between the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah.
But I think the Dodgers prevailed. I think that part of the series is over.
So that's pretty much what we got going on. It's just stuff around here. Nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy.
Trying to get back to normal. I'm sure I'll go see my brother-in-law and all that whenever he finally gets to come home.
Yeah. I hope he gets to feeling better.
Yeah. Last I talked to him, he felt great. So, I mean, like literally was like, dude, I only hurt when I cough and that's it. Like I feel amazing.
Right.
So he got a tune up. He's good to go.
Before we get out of here, don't forget, if you have a story you want to share with Cam and I, just email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. If you're listening to this and you have a story and you want to share it with us, that's where you need to send it.
We want to hear it. We want to read it.
Right.
Got to see it.
Please subscribe, rate, and write us a review on whatever podcatcher you're losing or listening to us on. Please share the show with your friends, colleagues, and family. Believe it or not, word of mouth is the best way to make a podcast.
Only the cool ones.
Right? Please go over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel, even if you have no intentions of ever listening over there. Just subscribe. It doesn't cost you a dime, and it really helps us out. That's all we have for this episode. Till next time, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.